Mr. Buzzin. Thank you, Madam Chair. And maybe I missed it. What size fish are we stocking that are coming out? And then is the ultimate goal to grow these fish in our RAS system eventually? Should that be the ultimate goal?
Yeah, so we are stocking these fish as fry primarily because it's easier for us to work with our state partners to get fry than it is to get a larger product. Right when those fish hatch, we can go straight to the hatchery, get the fish, collect them and bring them back. Versus if they're a larger size that we're stocking, they have to, you know, keep those fish in ponds and grow them out for us essentially. And that's much more challenging. So all our stockings are done as fry. It makes the process of stocking a little bit more challenging too, because Iowa's fish hatch a little bit earlier than ours because it's a little bit farther south. But overall, it shouldn't affect the project, generally speaking. But from there, yeah, we're hoping to evaluate these fish over 4 years and see what kind of our final product is with these fry in particular. And then we're going to make final decisions after that on how we move forward with either increasing our requests or maybe adapting how we do things in our state. Minnesota is a little bit limited because they have a lot of requests ongoing for Lake Sarah strain. They're trying to stock those into a lot more lakes in southern Minnesota. And so they don't have a lot of sources. They have Lake Sarah, but then that strain of walleye also inhabits some rivers over near the Mississippi River, the Cannon River, for instance. And so they're using those sources to try and increase the number of waters where they have this predominant Lake Sarah strain or the southern Minnesota strain. And so over time, it may become more available, but it's kind of up to, you know, the long-term future. If we could establish some populations in South Dakota, though, then maybe we could actually do a little bit more with them and then start to see if they're successful to stock them with other waters.
BJ, quickly describe average size goes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, so a fry is typically 2 to 4 days post-hatch. So you know, they're really, really small, you know, just an inch and a half long or something. A larger product that we would be stocking would be something, or excuse me, like half an inch long. So the larger products that we would be stocking would be something like a small fingerling, which are about an inch and a half to 2 inches long. And so those we stock at this time of the year, so mid-June, versus fry gets stocked in kind of early to mid-May. And we were even this year with the early winter, or the early spring, excuse me, we stocked some of those fish right at the end of April. And so, you know, it comes down to the timing of when those fish come to
the ever.
BJ, real quick, what's your background? Where'd you get your education?
This is a weird question for me, actually. I have a history undergraduate degree, and I was a teacher for a year. I decided I didn't want to do that. I came back to SDSU, took some courses, went off to grad school in Nebraska, and then just finished my PhD at SDSU, actually, while working for the department. So, yep.
Thank you.
Very good. Any other questions or comments? Excellent report. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks.
And with that, we're going to hold 18 until tomorrow. I'd like to jump to 19, community fishery study. We'll determine how far we are with time after that. We may try to sneak 20 in yet today.
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, and Secretary Roebling, I'm Dave Lucchese. I'm the Area Fisheries Supervisor out of the Southeast, and I would like to introduce our next speaker, Asa Donlinger. Asa received his undergraduate degree from Iowa State University, and he's in the final stages of completing his master's degree at South Dakota State University. And he just accepted a full-time position with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission as a fisheries biologist out of Valentine. I think we're all aware that community fisheries are a pretty important recruitment and retention tool. In Eastern South Dakota, We've been conducting research on the use and the users of these community fisheries since about 2009. And ACES study represents the next step in better understanding how community fisheries function and how we can better manage them to meet our R3 needs. ACES study is unique in that he included an online youth survey, and he also looked at took an initial look at some of the stockings of hatchery wrasse-reared catfish, bluegill, and largemouth bass. And he also did some in-depth surveying of the waters that he did his study on. So he looked at the community, the fish community in those waters. ACES study has already yielded some really interesting findings, and especially with youth users of these systems, and I think it's going to help guide future management. So with that, I'll turn it over to Asa.
I'm gonna scoot into this chair quick. So hi everybody, my name is Asa. I'm a master's student over at South Dakota State, like Dave said. And today I'm gonna be talking about our urban and community fisheries here in South Dakota. So in particular, I'm gonna be talking about my results from the summer of 2025, so my first field season. And then hopefully providing some ways that we can better manage these resources to facilitate angler participation. So fishing participation experienced some declines leading up to 2020. And then we hit the COVID-19 pandemic, where we had a pretty good surge in fishing participation, mostly when people had more time on their hands. And some of those gains actually carried over some of the years following that pandemic. So youth participation declines have really raised a red flag for a lot of these agencies who operate on a user pay benefit model. And so our hunters, our anglers, boaters, shooting sports, those are really the lifeblood of conservation here in the United States. So most of our urban and community fishing resources are managed to support some of our local or even nationwide R3 efforts. But they're generally stocked by our state management agencies in urban areas, and they're intended to reduce constraints to essentially a large proportion of potential anglers. So angler satisfaction is a common metric that fisheries managers will use to evaluate whether or not a fishery is meeting the expectation of its anglers. Where angler effort is a pretty common metric as well that a biologist may use to evaluate the time investment the anglers make on a particular water body. And so there's a need to evaluate these drivers of angler satisfaction and angler effort, particularly among our youth anglers, to improve their participation rates here in South Dakota. And there's a need to evaluate how these fish communities and anglers respond to our stocking practices. And so really, the results of this study will help South Dakota Game Fish and Parks in coming up with future management strategies that will help facilitate particularly youth angler participation going forward, and ultimately to ensure a legacy of future fishing opportunities for generations to come. So I'm gonna break today's talk down into kind of three general areas here when it comes to my results. So we'll talk about the angler catch effort, group dynamics. We'll move into satisfaction, the demographics, motives and preferences. And then finally, we'll get more specific about our youth anglers. So we've got five study ponds located in eastern South Dakota. We've got two in Brookings. So they're both within Dakota Nature Park. So we've got this split into Dakota Nature West there, which looks like it's the three interconnected ponds. And then we've got Dakota Nature East there, just to the east of that. And then in Watertown, we have 3rd Avenue Community Fishing Pond or Lions Park, and then McLaughlin Nature Area. And then finally, in Harrisburg, we have Lake Ole as our final study pond. So each of these places is of a different size, where we've got Dakota Nature West, which is like 18 and a half acres, compared to something like Lake Ole, which is much smaller, more like 3.5, right? Each of these places have a different number of access points. And it has they're all kind of sitting a different distance away from people's houses. So they all have these individual differences to them as well. So for this project, we're stocking largemouth bass, channel catfish, and bluegill, kind of like Dave mentioned before. So in 2025, we stocked 4 out of our 5 ponds in May and in June. And then in this year, we're doing 3 out of our 5 ponds. We've already done our May stocking event, and our June stocking event is coming up just around the corner. So we conducted spring pike net surveys on all of our water bodies in 2025 and 2026. And then we also conducted fall electrofishing surveys on 4 out of our 5 waters just this last fall. So that picture in the bottom right, that's a couple pretty nice largies that came out of Dakota Nature Park. And so we're further evaluating these fish communities in response to angular pressure and to stocking. And then you'll see us taking a fin clip of one of our bluegill there in the corner. And that's so that we can evaluate the survival of some of these bluegill that are raised in recirculating aquaculture systems. So information regarding our adult anglers was collected on site using an access point creel survey. So we asked anglers questions surrounding their motives, their preferences, and then we also asked them things surrounding cost, proximity, and measured their catch and their harvest. Meanwhile, while we're out there interviewing anglers, we're also conducting hourly pressure counts. So every hour, we're counting the total number of anglers who are there, the total number of adults, the total number of kids, and then we're also counting the total amount of people who are using either improved or unimproved access points. Now, to collect information from our youth anglers aged 12 to 17, we use the Qualtrics online survey. So we have these postcards that we hand out to kids while we're out doing these surveys. And then we also have signs that are posted up. So they scan that QR code. It takes them to the survey. There's a parental consent form, a personal assent form, all that good stuff. And then we also incentivize them to take the survey with the opportunity to win some pretty cool stuff. So rod and reel combos, preloaded tackle boxes. Just so we can get some more responses there. So let's kind of go into this first section surrounding these results in 2025. So angler catch effort and group dynamics specifically. So when we compare our average catch rates among all species between our stocking periods, we see that catch rates generally increased among our stocking periods between that first, before the first and our second stocking periods. And when we go down in between each of these bars, we see that generally catch rates were the highest right after we stocked and then declined until we stocked again, right? We did see that rainbow trout harvest was still, the catch rates were still relatively high in late May, even at places at Dakota Nature Park where we only stocked in that previous fall. So we had little to no observed harvest on most of our lakes. Most of the harvest that we did see were of people using bluegill for bait. So when we look, this graph here is the total angling effort among our adult and youth anglers. So in the black is our adults, in the gray is our youth anglers. So throughout the summertime, we estimated over 19,000 total angling hours. And so for reference, the 40 plus acres that all 5 of these study ponds represent get more pressure per acre than some place like Lake Madison does in the summertime. So on average, people are spending about an hour and a half out there per trip. And we really didn't see a significant difference between effort and adult and youth anglers, right? And so these things are very much tied together. And we did see that difference on Lake Ole, right? And that's a place that is very located close to people's residences, right? And so that we'll kind of come back to that here in just a little bit. But on a broad level, why are these resources not attracting much larger proportions of youth anglers compared to adult anglers? Well, 87% of our youth anglers reported fishing alongside somebody else. And the average adult angler party size is about 2.4 anglers, and 50% of those adults were fishing with kids. So it's a lot of adults bringing their children to these resources to use them. And then when we look at our daily angling effort between our stocking periods, so we did see an increase in average daily angling effort among that before stocking and post-stocking event. And there really was a significant increase in youth angling effort between that before stocking and post stocking one event. So that's a lot of good news. Again, during that postdoc in one event, that's also when kids get out of school, so they have more time on their hands. So let's go ahead and jump into this second session. We're going to talk about their satisfaction, a little bit about demographics, and then more about their motives and preferences as well. So when we compared satisfaction rates in our before and after stocking events like we did before, we didn't see a significant change because satisfaction rates were already high from the get-go. People were already satisfied with their experiences while being there, especially when we look among our adult anglers. Our youth anglers, we see that youth anglers and what's really driving that satisfaction, we see that it's highly linked to the number of fish that they're catching. And youth anglers are nearly 9 times more likely to report that they're satisfied with their overall experience if they're satisfied with the number of fish that they caught. So let's look at, well, what are the demographics? Who's really using these resources? So this is among our adult anglers. Again, only those responding to our survey, but the median age was 32 and a half years old for our adult anglers, which is a pretty young age distribution when we compare that to a lot of our other fisheries in the state. Now, with our youth median age, that was about 13 years old. Again, this is just the kids that we targeted for the survey, that 12 to 17 range, right? But again, this is a very young age distribution. And then when we look at our species preferences among our adult and youth anglers, we see that most of our adult anglers are generalists, and they're really there to catch about anything that bites, right? On the other hand, though, our youth anglers really prefer to catch largemouth bass in the summertime, which is then followed by things like rainbow trout, northern pike, bluegill, channel catfish. But that's not to take away the importance of those winter rainbow trout stockings, which, you know, in the wintertime, a lot of those studies in Sioux Falls really indicate the importance of those rainbow trout for anglers using those resources. So we asked anglers we basically asked them about their site selection preferences. So what features would make it more likely for you to want to return to a particular water body? And so when we see other, this is an open-ended question, so that is encapsulating a number of different responses. But we have a fair amount of our adult anglers that don't have any kind of amenity or resource or feature that would make it more likely for them to return. But for those that do, we see that adult anglers like coming back to places that have things like bathrooms and fishing piers. Now, when we look at this for our youth anglers, we see that youth anglers would rather come back to a place that's stocked with their preferred species, that have amenities like fishing piers, or host events like fishing tournaments, derbies, or fishing clinics. And then when we asked our adult and youth anglers where they're getting the majority of their fishing-related information, not surprisingly, especially when we look at the age distribution, most of those anglers are getting their information from online videos, so things like YouTube. And that's then followed by social media content, maps, magazines, physical demonstrations. But that isn't very surprising, especially in today's world. So let's look at the daily fishing motivations. And we split this up between our adult and youth anglers. We asked anglers, why did you choose to go fishing today? And most of our adult anglers went because they had time, because there was weather, the weather was nice, or to spend time with their kids or to have a good time and for enjoyment. Now, when we asked kids why they chose to go fishing today, a lot of them responded with because there was some place close to go, or because they wanted to catch a particular fish species, or they wanted to spend time with family and friends. Okay, so we have all this information. Let's just go a little bit deeper when we're talking about our youth anglers and their constraints, how they're getting around to their fishing spots and their introduction pathways, right? So we ask youth anglers about their constraints towards fishing participation. We see time and weather coming up in first and second, which isn't a big surprise, especially on a daily level. Time, having enough time and the weather being nice are pretty big constraints. We have some kids that don't have a perceived constraint. Again, this is open-ended, so that other is really a, a number of different responses. But we do see proximity, transportation, and family support coming up there, which do, that's raising a red flag. You know, when you combine those, that's almost accounting for nearly as much as time or weather. And so 46% of these kids still rely on somebody else to take them to that, to their fishing location. And this is most likely our younger anglers. Most of those anglers are coming from within 5 miles away, while we are getting some that are coming from over 40 miles out. And if they're youth anglers, that's most likely our older youth anglers. And then we ask our anglers, who or what introduced you into fishing? And the majority of our youth anglers indicate that a parent, a grandparent, or some other immediate family member introduced them into fishing. And so I think this really drives home the importance of family-oriented management strategies. So both adult and youth anglers spend time fishing to spend time with their families, right, and people that they care about. Youth participation is highly linked to adult effort, and family members can both facilitate or constrain youth angler participation because those youth anglers are highly dependent on their parents or who's taking them to guide their experience and to get them there in the first place. And so when we're asking ourselves, well, what's really going to drive participation? Well, many of our anglers are generalists, but those youth really show a strong preference towards largemouth bass in the summertime when they have more time on their hands, right? And stocking does help provide some of those summertime catch opportunities, but many of the primary motives and constraints of our youth anglers are shaped by whether or not there's someplace close by to go and whether or not they have family support. And so management should really focus on simple summertime stocking regimes, and they should focus on those resources that are close to home. And so growing youth participation using an urban and community fishery isn't just about managing for a good fish population. It's about managing for the conditions that make it easy for families to fish together. And so right now we're doing educator-based surveys. So we're working with educators across the state. They're kind of having kids do a thing of heads down, thumbs up to evaluate the impacts of some of these urban and community fisheries with and communities with and without one of these resources. So we've already done our spring fike net surveys on all of our water bodies. And then we'll be doing our fall electrofishing surveys again here in 2026. We just had our first stocking event in May. Kind of like I mentioned earlier, we just have another one just around the corner as well. So a big shout out to all my cooperators, South Dakota Game Fish and Parks, University of North Dakota, my advisors, all the undergrad, the grad students who have helped out along the way, and then all of my cooperators there with the co-op unit, university as well. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions, comments? I just have one. When visiting with some of the kids, I'm curious, do you know, were they there with any summer activity group or after school program? Just trying to differentiate between them being with a parent, being brought by another entity.
Yeah, so there were a few times where we had, like, in Brookings, they've got the outdoor center there that's right next to the pond, and they do host some outings there. We had Boy Scouts that were there that had a fishing derby, but on a day-to-day basis, we're doing these 7 days a week. On a day-to-day basis, it's mostly parents that are bringing their children. And then, you know, every once in a while when there's an event hosted, it might be a couple of adults, a couple of professionals with Game Fish and Parks, or somebody more local who's kind of ushering those kids into their experience that day. So
thank you. And maybe we already do this. My mind went to, I could see an opportunity when you looked at the data. Stocking had a big impact. Transportation could be a potential impact on them, but reaching out to some of these youth organizations during the stocking times to let them know, hey, this is happening. It might be a good opportunity to bring some kiddos down.
Exactly. Yep.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Commissioner Member.
Yep. Thanks. So, Asa, good job. Great report. Thanks. I'm just going to tell you, I love your enthusiasm.
Yeah, thank you.
Good job.
Very good. Any other questions? Secretary?
Yeah, Madam Chair, thank you. Commissioner Nyberg kind of stole the words out of my mouth. Great report. Just fascinating to see this. We are very much geared towards urban fisheries, community fisheries. It's a big priority area for us and will continue to be. This information will definitely help guide those management decisions moving forward. I'd love to see the bass aspects of it because my 8-year-olds love catching bass.
Yeah.
Very awesome. Thank you for all you've done.
Of course. Thank you.
Very good. Great report. Thank you.